in Proverbs chapter 22 and look in verse 28. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers had set." You can be seated this morning. As Solomon, and that was laying out the scripture here, laying out, and that a proverb for the children of Israel. He says, "To remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Let me pray, and then we're going to preach. Heavenly Father, touch us for just a little while. We're very thankful in that for the blessings that you've given us today. God, it's just a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to feel your the sweet touch and that of the Holy Spirit this morning. And Lord, when we come in, we weren't feeling that well this morning. But boy, we sure do feel pretty good now. And Lord, it's just good to be here. And Lord, thank you for the good singing. But Lord, while we preach, we just need and that a touch from you this morning. And that to be anointed afresh from heaven. For Lord, we can't do anything on our own. If there's one here lost this morning, I pray you'd save them before it's too late. Help the one that just has a need and help us in that to find encouragement and direction from the Word of God. And we'll tell you again how much we love you. And we thank you this morning for Jesus who loved us. Save that sin that's near his tail. Touch us and help us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I look, and that is the writer said, to remove not the ancient landmark. Now, that word landmark is something that marks or designates the boundary of land or any marked or fixed objects. Now, listen, by which the limits may be known or preserved. Now, at my house, if you go out on my piece of property, you'll find around the corners and halfway down, you'll find little iron rods drove in the ground. Now, those are landmarks, if you'll let me say that. But better than that, me and my neighbor, me and Mr. Talent, we have, between me and him, we got a big old beech tree back there in the back that represents our corner. That beech tree is something I can look at, and I can say right there is the corner between me and Mr. Talon and me and Mr. Johnson, that beech tree is our corner. And if you come down to the lower end, there's an old fence post still stuck in the ground down there, and we can see it, and that is the corner between me and Mr. Talon. Those things can be seen, and we know that they're preserved for a reason. That leaves the landmark so I know where things are. I remember when that I used to go over and that to the baptizing sometimes at our church would have where me and Kelly got married at, where we need to turn at sometimes. There used to be a big old red barn out there. And I would remember that's the road that I needed to turn onto or come off of because that big old red barn was there. Now, God forbid if they ever paint that thing a different color, I'm going to be in a mess. Amen. But listen, the landmarks, he said, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Now, I want to preach for just a minute, having a thought on some landmarks of a Bible-believing Baptist church. There's been some things left that along the way that we need to pay attention to, that we don't need to remove, and that we need to maintain to the whole time. Amen. Hey, listen, five times in your King James Bible, you'll find landmarks mentioned. And all five times, they have one thing in common. And the Bible is saying, don't remove those landmarks. Hey, you know what's happening in Bible-believing Baptist churches today? The landmarks are getting removed. And I'm going to preach for just a little while. This I won't get it all preached today, and I don't know if I'll preach it tonight. We may preach it next Sunday morning. I don't know. But listen, by my way of introduction, let me say that God left these landmarks, and that for us, first of all, for an inheritance. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, 14, he said, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have said in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. He told the nation of Israel, he said, we've set some landmarks, and he said, those coming up, they're going to be the ones that inherit some things. Hey, you know what we've done? We've moved and removed and kicked them a little to the side and kept moving them and moving them. Those that's coming on after us, they're not going to inherit what they need to inherit. They're not going to get it, and that's what's coming to them. You say, well, what are they going to get? If you'll just hold on, I'll show you right here in a minute. Hey, listen, we're losing our inheritance. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. Don't go sleep on me now. I'm going to preach. Hey, I'm just as tired as you are. Amen. Listen, but look, not only are we losing our inheritance because somebody has moved the ancient landmark, which, by the way, that word ancient means old, and that means not only old, but that it can be preserved. Amen. But listen, not only that, but then it was the direction. According to the book of Job chapter 24, it was direction and the word of the Lord. Look with me in Job chapter 24. Now I'm talking about a landmark, something that we put up so that we can remember and see. In Job chapter 24, he said, some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take away, or they take the widow's ox for plagues. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Hey, if you go back and you read the law of God, there is just a certain amount of, let me put it to you like this, they were some people that he was concerned with. Listen, God was concerned with everybody. But if you read the law, God laid out some specific law, and that for the widow, the fatherless, and for the stranger. He began to lay out some things. And he said, look here, they serve that is manipulating, they're removing, and that the ancient landmark, and disobeying what God's word had to say. And so not only that, but if we look here in the text verse, remove not the ancient landmark. That means old, not new. Well, that's simple, ain't it? The word ancient means old, not new. It means that has been there for a long duration. I tell you what, everybody's looking for something new.
Amen.
And I'm just wanting to remain as old-fashioned
as
I can. I like the old-time way. Amen. I like coming. Hey, I'll be honest with you, church. I do like coming in and singing a while and shouting it out a while. I like praising him and crying. I like preaching. Hey, preaching will make a difference in you today. Amen. But I like it all. But you got some people in here that, man, they can't wait to get out of here, and they just want to go to church to say they've been. Nothing's never changed. Hey, I want to come to church and know that I've been to church. Amen. Not because of the feeling, but because I know that God met with me. I like old time preaching, whether I'm doing it or whether I'm listening to it. I like it. What are some Bible believing Baptist landmark? Now, I'm Baptist. By the way, you're sitting in a Baptist church. I mean, I'm just as Baptist can be. And we're going to look this morning at some landmarks of a Bible believing Baptist church. Number one, what are some of them landmarks? First of all, is Bible principles. Simple and plain Bible principles. We don't run on tradition of the church. We don't run on tradition of some other preacher or somebody else. But we run and that on Bible principles. What we believe and what we live is found alone and only in this book. Amen. Now, I don't know what you're living by, but beloved friend, when I finally, thank God there come a day that I finally fell in love with this book, and it changed everything in my life. Well, I tell you, I love the old Bible. What was it Brother Berman Cape used to sing, him and Sister Cape? I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. I'm telling you what light on my pathway to shine. I'm telling you, this book can help you this morning if you'll let it. But Bible principles, we find, first of all, the first Bible principle we find is Bible authority. It has all rule in matters of this church and in matters of your life and in matters of every direction. Whether you're going to school, whether you're working a job, whether you're running a business, whether you're staying at home and tending the house, this book right here and that ought to guide every bit of it. Amen. I tell you, we ought to let the Bible and that have authority. Or let men preach, and that with authority from the Word of God. Sometimes you're looking at me like I'm crazy this morning. Hey, listen, the Lord Jesus put it like this, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if this book's still here when the world's on fire, don't you reckon it ought to have authority in our life and in this church? It ought to have it in the schoolhouse. It ought to have it in Washington. It ought to have authority, amen, in this land. But the landmark has got kicked out of the way, hadn't it? Huh?
Come on.
A landmark. Some of you remember, I've listened to you talk, and you'd say, boy, you could go to any Baptist church, and they all believe the same thing. Some of y'all can remember that.
Yeah.
Some of y'all can remember that.
Right.
I mean, there were days when you, if they said Baptist on the front door, hey, you could go to meeting with them, man. Right. It ain't that way now.
Amen.
It ain't that way now. Boy, ain't no telling what you're going to get. Hey, you know, shame of it is, some of them's getting even women preachers now. Wasn't there one up in Jefferson City or Johnson City or something? I mean, one of them cities up north of us up there. I mean, for their senior, I wouldn't care if she's the senior pastor or the little pastor or the in-between pastor. She had no business, amen. She can't be the husband of one wife. Amen, I can read plain. I know what my Bible says. Hey, listen, the landmark of Bible authority. Hey, well, preacher, we just don't think it ought to be that way. Then I'm going to tell you what. You're wrong, and the Bible's right. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Good preaching, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Come on.
Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. I tried to read this last night, and boy, I just couldn't get it done. They rang the bell on me, and I still swear they only let me preach about 3 minutes last night. Jacob, you rang the bell on me early, didn't you, son? Yeah, he told me to stand up. Yeah. Man, I thought so. I told my wife, I said, there is no way, no way that was 7 minutes. There's no way that was 7 minutes. I mean, I barely got, I know I have to have a long runway to get this jet off the ground, but man, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, but look at Deuteronomy 6. And these words which I command thee this day, now it's sort of be plain to you, I read this a lot, shall be in thine heart. Well, David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to tell you this story again. I told it last night. I was in Jubilee meeting back Tuesday, and we was in the prayer room in there. And them men got to talking about, one of them men got to talking about one of their brothers had to go in and have brain surgery. And they said, now when he has his surgery, he probably ain't going to know who you are, but said, if we don't do it, it's going to kill him, and we got to go in and do this. But said, he probably ain't going to remember who you are. And sure enough, they done the surgery and he come out. No, he didn't remember who he was nor who they were. But they said he laid back there in that bed and quoted scripture. How did he do that? As I said last night, it's not the fact that the Word of God gets in our mind. It gets in our heart. So what did Moses tell the children of Israel? He said, they shall be in thine heart. He said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God didn't say, read them a fairy tale. Didn't say, read a jack tale. Didn't read them the newspaper or a magazine, or let them watch TV or listen to the radio. He said, what I want you to teach to your children, it's what I'm telling you. Preacher, really, we ought to be teaching our, hey man, it goes far more than what these ladies and young men's teaching in our Sunday school classes. This ought to be taught your home. Amen. Bible ought to have preeminence in your house. It ought to have preeminence in the preacher's house. Amen. And look at verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells to dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. He said, look, when I bless you beyond what you ever could imagine. Now he's talking to the children of Israel, and he said, when I bring you over to the land of Canaan, and boy, I mean, I just open the door and you go in, and I listen, and you get all these things that you didn't work for. He said, this is why I want you to remember my word. Hey, listen, when you get your chance, when your youngins get their chance to go out into the world, listen, and leave your home, that's why you've taught them the word of God. That's why you've preached to them and taught them and stressed how important this book is. They need something to live by, friend, and govern themselves and a landmark that they can have. But I want you to look, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Youngins get on up to age. They get ready to leave home. And boy, sometimes they just quit church, don't they? Young people, can I tell you how proud the preacher is of you that you're here this morning? And I dare say, I look across the house and I dare say that Mom and Dad didn't make you come. Some of you are here, most of you are here because you want to be here, and I'm awful proud of you. I am. Hey, listen, more and more I go into churches and see in different churches and people come in here and brag on our young people that we had some young people. Hey, not every church has got young people anymore.
Right. Amen.
Some of them's lacking old people. Amen. And I don't want to brag on these young ones without bragging on you older folk too. I'm glad you're here today. That is a preacher sometime back. He said we need some old people in our church. That's what he said. He said, we need some old people. He said, I've got young people, but I need some old people that can teach and that some wisdom to these young people. Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now remember, I'm preaching on Bible principles. It's a good thing I didn't want to preach all this thing today. They 6 points. And I'm barely getting in the first one. Amen. Look, I want you to look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now I'm talking about Bible authority. Bible authority. Does the Bible have authority in your life? It should. It should have Bible authority. I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Jehoshaphat's made a league with King Ahab. And he probably shouldn't have done that, but nonetheless he did. And they get down here, and in verse 4 the Bible said, well, let me back up right here. And let's look in verse 3. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now I want you to watch this. He talks to King Ahab, who is a wicked king, and he says, I want to inquire of the Lord. And therefore the king of Israel gathered together prophets, 400 men. Now he's got 400 prophets, okay? And said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. All right, he's got 400 men, prophets, preachers, they said, go up. I think that one ought to be good enough, shouldn't it? But what's verse 6? But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? Mm-hmm. For some reason, Jehoshaphat didn't trust in 400 men. It's kind of like having something besides a King James Bible. When I read that there this morning, I thought, boy, that's like having 400 Bibles and none of them say King James on them. Mm-hmm. Amen. We taught on that last Sunday night. If you got to say, you ought to get you a King James Bible. Amen. It's good for you. And he said, is there not here a prophet? Not prophets, but a prophet. singular. He was looking for the man of God. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom you may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate him. He got 400 men down here telling him what he wants to know. But this man by the name of Micah, which is fixing to come, he said, I hate him. You can get you a Bible that you want to read and that you like to read, and it'll tell you what you want to know. You'll catch on to that here in a minute. But when you really get the Word of God in your hand, you probably ain't going to like it that way. He said, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same as Micah, the son of Imlon. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micah, the son of Imlon. And that's what they done. They went and got him, and he prophesied. You know what he done? He said, go on up to fight. And he said, just go on up to fight, and it'll be all right. And the king Ahab, he said, I can't believe you done that. He said, you're either going to come back in peace or you're not. And you can read the rest of that scripture right there. But listen, King Jehoshaphat wanted something that he could lean on and look to have authority in his life. What governs your life? What governs this church? Right. Say, well, it's you, preacher. Right. I am the overseer, but this book governs this church. If you don't like that, you probably shouldn't be a member of this church.
Amen.
I'm just going to be honest. I don't want you to leave. I want you to get your heart right. And that with God and with the Bible right here. Amen. Bible said in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. And boy, I tell you, he said, and piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But Bible principles, there's Bible authority. Hey, not only is there Bible authority, but I'm talking about a landmark, and that of a Bible-believing Baptist church is blood atonement. You cannot get saved without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, and almost all things are by the law purged without blood, and without the shedding of blood, he has no remission. Amen. Hey, listen, at Calvary, ain't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood so that we might be saved? Amen.
Amen.
Revelations 1 and 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I was laying in the bed last night about 3 o'clock. And listen, I was laying, actually it's 4 o'clock, excuse me, because it done rolled forward by then. And I was laying in there, and I was thinking about how he washed us. And boy, how my mind works, you know. That great big hand from heaven picked us up. And I think sometimes he'd take a scrub brush to us and just clean us up, you know. You know what? Heaven, I don't know how he done it, but he done it, amen. And he done it through the blood. Hey, listen, there's a lot of folk. I want to get saved some other way. I want to trust in somebody else or something else. But it took the shed blood. It's always been the blood since the day that Adam and Eve and that sin in the garden. God killed an animal, shed blood, and that to clothe them. Friend at Calvary, he shed his blood. Hey, listen, Jesus said in Matthew 26, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Listen, it must have the blood atonement on it, or you can't be saved today. Amen.
Right.
That is a landmark of a Bible-believing Baptist church. They want to get you in some other way. I believe in water baptism, but we cannot wash your sins away. It takes the shed blood of the Lord. Ain't you glad he shed his blood? Boy, I tell you, this old redback book.
Amen. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Thank you.
I'm glad I learned them old songs growing
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
Power in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 379. There is a fountain filled with blood.
Hallelujah.
Drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
Yes, thank God.
Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Page right next to it, page 378. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Exodus chapter 12, children of Israel was leaving the land of Egypt. And the Lord said, and the blood shall be a token unto you. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, I love them old songs about the blood. Boy, you just can't, I'm telling you, one of the landmarks that's getting pushed out of the way. And we seen that last Sunday in a New International Version of the Bible. They've took out the shed blood in some places. Listen, we need some landmarks that's visible today. Not only for me and you to know, but listen, if the Lord don't come back, these youngins, they somebody got to take my place. Hey, somebody got to take your place. Well, I want them to know about them landmarks. I want them to know, thank God, thank God. Bible said in Acts 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. He bought and paid for us with his own blood. You want to talk about a Bible principle. Shed blood is from the beginning to the end. And you find it everywhere in between. Well, if you ever go look at the priest's duty. Now, I want you to do this sometime. You read up and you look in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers and Leviticus. And look at the priest's job. They had blood running all the time.
Amen.
I'm serious. I mean, if you go down there and look, I mean, they were constantly killing something over there in the tabernacle and in the temple. There's blood running all the time. Somebody said the other day, he said, I don't believe I'd have made it as a priest. They said, man, I'd have been sick with all that stuff that was going on. I said, you might have been. I don't know. But listen, it's always been the shed blood. And the Bible said in the book of 1 Peter that it was precious blood that redeemed us so that we might be saved. That word atonement means to stand as an equivalent to amend or make satisfaction for an offense or for a crime. That blood wiped away all our guilt before the Lord Jesus Christ, before God himself. I'm talking about Bible principles, Bible authority, blood atonement, but then the assurance of the believer.
Yes.
Hey, listen to me today. Boy, I'm glad for that landmark, ain't you?
Amen.
My salvation is assured in him.
That's right.
I didn't save me. I ain't keeping me.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, happy day, when I realized that, friend, that I wasn't doing the keeping, amen. But he, boy, I thought it was a happy day when I realized I wasn't saved, amen. And I got saved. Boy, it'd be a good day for you to have,
amen,
is to realize that you're not saved and you need to get saved. But you know what? Some landmarks is Bible principle. And the Bible principle is the very fact that Jesus keeps those that are his. Romans chapter 8. Now, don't go sleep on me now. I will be shouting right now. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Can't never be lost again. You get saved, you can't be lost again.
That's right.
2 Timothy 1, chapter 12, he said, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto
Amen.
Him against that day.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, take your Bible and go to the book of John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want you to look. John 10. I don't even know if I preach this thing tonight and next Sunday, if I'll get done with it or not. Amen. John 10 and verse 27. I'm glad to be saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
Amen. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. That's life with no end. He said, and they shall never perish. Neither shall. You know what? Them disciples got out there on the boat in Mark chapter 4. And in the Sea of Galilee. And that thing blowed up. That storm did. Now Jesus is on board. And in Mark chapter 4, as the winds was a-blowing, and I mean that little old boat was tossed to and fro, and the Bible said that it was now full. I believe the Bible. F-U-L-L means full. Don't mean there's no more room. I believe it was running over. Listen, but you know, Jesus was on board. Amen. Can I tell you just a couple of things? When Jesus is on board your boat can't sink. No matter how full it gets of water. Amen. It won't sink. But you know what? They went over there and they woke him up. And here's what they said. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now that's what they said. Carest thou not that we perish? Not that we're going to be doomed. Not that we're going to crash. Not that we're going to sink. But they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I believe they said it with some excitement in their voice. But you know, right here, Jesus said this about perishing. You know, perishing means to be done away. It means to be done with. It means to come to an end. And he said, and they shall never perish. Well, no matter what happens in our life, we cannot perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Boy, I tell you, one of the greatest Bible principles outside of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord is the fact that we're kept in Him and kept in Him alone. Boy, I'm glad of that. Can I tell you, listen. Children of Israel couldn't go back to the land of Egypt the way they come out, could they? Well, they could go back. Yeah, but they couldn't go back the same way that they come out. What do you mean? How'd they come out? Well, God parted the Red Sea, didn't He? Mm-hmm. Now, they could get back down to the land of Egypt, but they couldn't go back to the land of Egypt the same way they come out. Hey, friend, we can go back to the world, but we can't go back to the world the same way that we came out.
That's right.
I come through the blood coming out. I don't know about you.
Amen.
But I do. I'm glad I'm kept in. Say, preacher, how do you know that you say? How do you know that? You talk about eternal security. Let me ask you, I was preaching this not too long ago, I guess maybe last month at the nursing home, and it dawned on me. Dawned on me going home about some things, about what I had preached. You know, even sometimes a preacher learns from his own preaching. Amen.
Yes, amen.
How do you know? 2 Timothy or 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says that night, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So, there must be a day or a time when you got saved. Amen? You weren't born a Christian. You weren't raised a Christian. You got to be saved. So, there must be a time. You may not know the date. You may not know the hour. You may not know the day that you got saved. No, but there must be a time when you come to Christ. You got to have that. There must be a place where the change took place. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Had to be a change. You can't be saved and be the same way that you are. Amen. You're going to be different. If you're not different, if there's not something changed on you, on the inside, you're not saved. You know another way that I know that I'm saved? This book has been opened to me.
Right.
What do you mean, preacher? You go to the book of 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians. I ain't even going to get through the first point today. Man. 1 Corinthians. And y'all thought I could preach in 7 minutes last night. Actually, you all didn't think that. I thought I could. My wife knew better. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. She says, you can't do it. She's right. Amen. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This book and the things of God are spiritually discerned. He's got to abide on the inside of you. Hey, listen, you know how I know that I'm saved? This book has been enlightened in my life, friend. I just don't glean from it. I learn from it. Amen.
Right.
This book has become alive.
He says, you know
how you know that you pass from death into life? Because you love the brethren. There's another way you know that you're saved. Because you love the brethren. Now, some of you just got a little quiet right there. Hey, you know, when you get saved, God changes your heart about loving one another. Amen. Say, boy, the preacher, they're awful hard to deal with. And I'll be honest with you. Hey, listen, they some folk that I intentionally don't go around. But I tell you what, if they needed me and if they needed something out of me, I'd help them. I would. You know, even under the law, the Lord said, if you see your enemy's ox out there running around by itself, He said, you corral it up and take it back to Him. Amen. Yeah. Hey, listen, if you're going to be saved and know that you're saved, you're going to have to love people sometimes. It's awful hard to love.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we're getting excited, ain't we? Amen. Proverbs chapter 59 said that the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. You know another way that I know I'm saved? I've had God answer my prayers.
That's the truth. Amen.
Now I'm talking about something that I've prayed personally. As Brother Jeff mentioned in our life, didn't even say it out loud. I just prayed it and God answered. He don't do that for lost people.
Right.
Now let me tell you what I understood coming home. God don't have to know this stuff. God already knows whether you're saved.
Amen.
He knows whether your name's written down in heaven.
That's right.
But sometimes you've got to have that proof to come along. Sometimes you need that to settle your mind and help your heart and realize how God's come by. I think back sometimes, Jeremiah, I hadn't been pastoring here long. And Bethany was just little back then. You just little. And I remember sitting right here when I come in, but I remember leaving the house and I had studied. Now, I'm a preacher that likes to know what I'm going to preach before I get here. Now, it don't always happen, but I like to know. And as one preacher said last night, we were standing back our tongue, I'd like to know a week in advance if I could. Amen. That would be good to the Lord to let me know a week in advance what I'm preaching next Sunday. But it don't always work that way. But I know for sure that I'd studied and got things ready. And I was upstairs at that time. I wore shoes that laced up and I was getting ready and the Lord was dealing with me about a thought. I thought, really, Lord? That's what you want me to do tonight? And I said, Lord, if you'll give me some scripture to go with that thought, I'll preach on that tonight. And so I had no more said that in my heart and sat down on the bed and pulled my shoe up here and was lacing it. And there come the scripture right to my mind. I said, okay. And so I was still doubting that thing and really not wanting to do it. And I got in the car and turned on the radio and we were listening to WLIL out of Lenore City. And there Brother Langston was on the radio. And guess what scripture he was preaching on? The scripture that God had given me right before we left the house. And practically preaching the same message with the same thought that God wanted me to preach that night. And I thought, my soul. Ain't the Lord good? It's just that little stuff that we hide in our heart like Mary did with Jesus. Remember that little stuff that she would ponder on in her heart? I put that stuff in my heart. And boy, when them hard times come by, I remember that stuff. I lean back on that. See, God don't have to know about your time and your change and how He's opened the Scripture and answered your prayer and how you love the brethren. See, He already knows, you see. But you need to know that stuff. Hey, I'm glad there is assurance in salvation.
Amen.
Do you have that assurance today? Do you know you're saved? Landmarks. Landmarks of a Bible-believing church. Huh? Bible authority. Bible authority. We believe the book. It has authority. Blood atonement. We believe that we get saved in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because He shed His blood for us. And then the security of the believer. Well, then let me say this. I feel like I need to move on. I do. I'd want to quit right here, but I don't feel like I need to. But then number two, And I know what time it is, but just stay with me, and I won't hold us much longer. But I'm talking about the landmarks of a Bible-believing Baptist church. Number two, not only Bible authority, but prayer. The landmark of a Bible-believing Baptist church is we're going to pray. The Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. You know one thing that us older folk ought to be teaching these younger folk to do? Pray. You say, they may be able to teach me. They may do it.
Amen.
They may be praying more than we are. Well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Amen. Amen. Hey, don't go sleep on me just yet. Listen, prayer is something. He said, look, first of all, that supplications. The supplication is asking for that certain need. I don't know the need that you have, whether it's a physical need or spiritual need, friend, but God knows. The Bible said in Philippians 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we see anything happen in this church, got to be prayed for. Amen. If we don't pray, if you don't pray through the week, Matthew 6 talks about getting into the prayer closet. If you don't get into the prayer closet, then you know what happens? Why would we expect to see anything happen at church? Why would you expect to see anything happen in your life if you don't pray? Hey, he said, therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. Hey, listen, God wants us to pray and spend time before Him and bringing our supplication to Him. I'm glad in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh. Yes, God can do above what you can ask or think. Somebody, I was talking to somebody the other day, they said, we don't know how this is going to work out. I said, God can do beyond what we can ever imagine. Make a way when there is no way. Change the circumstances to change everything. God can do it. But a landmark of a Bible-believing Baptist church that's got removed is prayer. It's a preacher. It takes time to read our Bible. It takes time to pray. Yes, it does. I was just one of them talking about Brother Earl Hughes last night. Said Brother Earl was struggling to pray. And you all that were here know what the answer is. Said he's struggling to pray. And said he finally just got up and told the Lord, Lord, I'm going to bed. See you in the morning. Been there before. Amen. A lot of times I don't even tell the Lord good night. A lot of times I just wake up on the floor. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'll be on the floor praying, and the next thing I know, I woke up with drool running out of my mouth. So you're not ashamed of that? I am. It's kind of funny sometimes. I just start praying again, amen. There's been times that I've been so sleepy that even sitting in my study chair wasn't good enough, that I had to stand up to finish praying. I was so tired. But I was bound and determined to pray. Listen, supplications. We need to learn to pray. I'm not doing this justice right here. But then we need to intercede. He said to make supplications and prayers and intercessions. Boy, where we pray and that for somebody else, for the need of somebody else, where we intercede and that for a lost sinner to get saved. Listen, the night that I got saved, my mother was praying that she'd know that her children were saved. I believe she was interceding on behalf of me and my sister. We, all us preachers, gathered around last night, there's 14 of us, and we gathered around, we prayed for Brother Ted. Brother Ted got cancer, and we interceded on behalf of him. You better be glad that folk can know how to pray, because you may need them to pray for you one day. I didn't used to take it serious when people would say, hey, put this on your prayer list or pray for me. And you know what I do now? I don't care if I got to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to go find a piece of paper and I'm going to scribble it out and put it in my shirt pocket. Because there's days that I've needed people to pray for me. That old boy last night called me as we got to church. Was here at church early. He called me about 10 to 4 yesterday evening. Just a preacher that I preached a revival for a couple months ago. And he said, preacher, I just had you on my mind. And he said, so I just thought I'd just start praying for you. I said, praise the Lord. I said, you just don't know how much I needed you to pray for me. I appreciate that. I got a preacher all the way up in northeast Tennessee up there. He'll send me a text every now and again, and it'll say, Brother Mark, I prayed for you this morning. I love getting that thing. So I'm glad somebody's praying for me. Listen, we as a church, if we want to see folks saved, the Bible landmark, the Bible-believing landmark of the Baptist church is we intercede for sinners. Well, we gather up around the altar and we beg God to save sinners. When's the last time we ever got down on our knees and cried and wept before God because our friends and our loved ones was lost? I don't do it that much. Oh, I've cried and wept because of other reasons at praying, but what about for lost folks? They die and go to hell. They never going to get out of it. They go into a place that's inseparable. They can't come out of it. I mean, that gulf is fixed. If you'd let me say it that way, that they never come out of it. We need to learn to intercede. He said, in giving of thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we get down to pray, do we just say thank you, Lord? I think sometimes, and I'm not going to tell you nothing you ain't never heard me say here, but I think sometimes it would just do us good to slip away somewhere. Whether it's your normal praying place or just get away somewhere else and just get along with God and just say thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Just say thank you. My wonderful home, my family, my church, my preacher. Lord, we just want to thank you. I tell you what gets God's attention more is when His people begin to thank Him.
Amen.
And rejoice in Him.
Right.
And praise Him. Boy, it gets His attention.
Amen.
Real, real fast. Them old timers. Let me say this. I'm going to close, okay? If you've always had everything handed to you, then you've never really done without. It's awful hard to be thankful for some things. But when you've wondered how you was going to do what you was going to do, and God made a way, or somebody come by, has somebody ever just brought you something that you needed? Not wanted, but needed. And boy, you're so thankful. Made the job so much easier. The problem, I mean, it lightened the load, or they come and they helped you carry the load. Boy, you're awful thankful when that happens. I tell you, we get down on our knees. Preacher, do you get down? Listen, I get in my study and I lay out what's called prostrate before the Lord. And I get flat before Him a lot of times. That's how I pray. It's how my wife knows I'm praying. When I hear her every now and again. She'll come over to my study door and want to talk to me or need to talk to me. And she'll knock and I won't say nothing and she'll creak that door open and then I'll hear her shut it back, you know. That's the only time I don't answer her. If I'm reading my Bible, I'll answer. If I'm studying, I'll answer. But if I'm praying, I ain't going to answer her. And she'll tell you that I lay out before the Lord that way. And I just won't talk to Him for a while. But you know, I find myself talking to Him about everything else but thanking Him. And shame on me. I tell you, it'd be good, church, just to thank Him. It'd be good. Let's bow our heads. Some landmarks were missing. Let's get some verse. Come on, fellas, let's get a verse of invitation. Some landmarks of a Bible-believing Baptist church. Bible authority. We believe the Bible. Believe in blood atonement.
Believe that the believer is secure in Him. But we believe and know that praying works. I've tried it. I mean, I put prayer to the test. I've seen God move for me. When's the last time? You might have a need right now. And I want you to know that you can bring it to this altar down here and just talk to the Lord. And He'll handle it. He'll handle it. If you'll give it to Him. I don't know the need that you have today, but I tell you, He can handle it. You might need to get saved. Boy, today'd be a good day. You've never been blood washed. You ain't going to heaven, friend. I don't care how good you are. I don't care who your family is. Until you come and you kneel down and you ask Jesus to save you and come into your heart. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but would you save me? Whew. Preacher, is it really that simple? It's that simple. Go ahead and start playing, Brother Lewis, if you will. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We tried to preach what You give us this morning. I pray it's a help to people. Just some landmarks that we've kind of forgot along the way. Can I tell You, thank You, Lord, that I'm glad You come by. Stirred my heart anyway. I don't know if You've stirred anybody else's, but You sure enough stirred mine. Glad You washed me and made me clean. And You still got me. Thank You for that wonderful blood atonement, the security that we have. Lord, that maybe somebody got a need this morning, never been saved. Let them come. Let us learn how to pray one for another, care one for another, rejoice in You, and say thank You for Your wonderful blessings. Let us know how to intercede one for another, for that sinner needs to get saved, for that one that's sick. Let us learn how to intercede and be serious about it and maintain our prayer life. Sure want to tell You thank You this morning. Been so kind. Wonderful name. Let's keep our heads bowed this morning, folks coming to pray.